I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In two clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
I'm Cindy Lauper. My psoriasis was all over, even on my scalp, which may mean four times the risk for psoriatic arthritis. But Cosentyx works on both.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 milligram dose and adults with active psoriatic arthritis 150 milligram dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for TB. Serious allergic reactions, severe skin reactions that look like eczema, and an increased risk of infections, some fatal, have occurred. Cosentyx may lower ability to fight infections, so tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if IBD symptoms develop or worsen. Learn more at Cosentyx.com or 1-844-COSENTYX. Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now, in a city where time disappears. We create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big, we go all night, and here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. A lot to get into here on a Wednesday. Let's not waste any time. Let's bring in from the Sporting Tribune, Grant Money Mona. Grant, how are you?
I'm doing well, Arash. There are a lot of young teams doing well as well. I wish you could say the same about my team, but here we are.
All right, let's start there. Let's start with the game we saw last night. Again, I don't really want to focus on the Celtics-Cavs game because that went probably how most of us thought. I think most of us have the Celtics going all the way to the NBA Finals. So a 25-point win over the Cavs in game one. Really not a shock there. You know, so I have to start here. I don't think, and we've talked about this before, like a year ago, like when the Kings were young and they were on this run and they were a top four seed, I'm like, you know what, still give me the vets, still give me the guys who've been there before. And so I kind of thought the same thing going into this season as it pertains to OKC and Minnesota. Again, two teams that were very young that I had not seen it do in the playoffs. And again, there's a big difference between the regular season and the postseason. And I go back to a year ago, you know, in the play-in tournament where the Lakers beat the Timberwolves. And again, like I the regular season is different. But the one thing that I've learned during this postseason is we could be seeing the future of the NBA. I mean, obviously, we know so far through two games what the Timberwolves are doing to the defending champions in terms of taking two straight games in Denver. And the way that OKC beat the Mavs in this game one, again, you know, having a 20-plus point lead for the majority of that game, winning handily in game one. Listen, I do think the Mavs will make the adjustments. I do think that this will be a series, although I said that about, you know, the Timberwolves Nuggets series. I think the difference there is at least these first two games are in OKC. And even if they fall down 2-0 in the series, you know, you got two straight games in Dallas. That being said, you know, I do think we're seeing the future of the league right now. What was your thoughts? Again, you are very familiar with the Mavericks following that first round series with the Clippers. What were your thoughts following game one?
Yeah, it's in game one of the last series, even Arash, if we go back to when they played the Clippers, it was a disaster in that game too.
Yeah.
And, you know, after that first game against the Clippers, I was like, oh my goodness, the Clippers are just so much better. And
yeah.
I saw a lot of the same tendencies that I saw in game one against them that I'm seeing now against OKC. I mean, Luka Doncic was 6 of 19. And look, outside of his 35-point game in round one, Luka Doncic has really not been the same guy that we're used to seeing in the playoffs. I don't know if it's his knee. You know, there's a lot of speculation about his knee or his sickness or something. I mean, he does not look 100%. So that could be it. But this OKC team, I mean, with SGA, he had 29-9-9 in game one last night. And look, their defense was phenomenal. Lu Dort is a fantastic defender. He has been for a while. Him and SGA are, and I think Isaiah Joe are the only ones left from that 2020 team that made the playoffs. So those are the only three guys with playoff experience, but you wouldn't know it watching this team. I mean, Chet Holmgren is playing great. He's been a really good presence in the paint. And their whole, I mean, they held Kyrie and Luka to 39 points combined, which is something that you don't really see that often. And, you know, another thing is that I just think that this Dallas team was kind of taken back by this OKC team. Yeah. Like going from the Clippers, who are a slow, methodical team that are older, right? They like to play half court offense and really kind of slow things down just because they're older. And then you go to this high octane, really fast paced. And I know that the Thunder like to play in the half court as well, but they're very athletic. Like Jalen Williams was sensational. He looks like a bona fide number two to SGA. Yeah. And, you know, that's another guy that the Clippers that they got when that Clippers trade with Paul George, and he looks fantastic. I mean, he could be the new kind of James Harden, maybe a Russell Westbrook kind of in that role that they had back 10-12 years ago in that first core. So this team, they're loaded. They got a great effort from Aaron Wiggins off the bench. He had 16. Like if you're getting contributions off the bench from these guys that you don't really expect, and you get a great game from SGA, I mean, this team is really good. I mean, I'm really not surprised by this. I was a little bit surprised that they swept New Orleans. I thought that would maybe be a 5 or 6 game series. Yeah. But the way they're doing it, like them and the Wolves are playing better than almost anybody right now. And that's even with the Celtics. Like these two teams are playing menacing basketball, fast pace, really good defense, methodical offense. Their stars are taking over. So for the Mavericks, look, like you mentioned, it's not over at all. Like they played really bad in game one in the last series. So for them, they are pretty good at adjustments. Jason Kidd didn't even play Daniel Gafford down the stretch, which is weird. He went small and the Thunder abused it. So it was very fun. I mean, that OKC crowd is one of the best home crowds and the best home court advantages in the league. So I'm very excited for this series and also that Wolves Nuggets series too.
Yeah, I mean, I think you brought up a great point in the sense that the Wolves and the OKC Thunder have not lost in this postseason. And so, you know, I think, listen, if they do meet in the Western Conference Finals, I mean, like one of them will face adversity. And again, these series are not over. So again, they may face adversity in this series. And again, I think a lot of people think that the Timberwolves are going to kind of roll over Denver only because of the way that they won the first two games in Denver. So now like these next two games are in Minnesota. If they hold home court, this is going to be done. You know, the last time I've been surprised by a sweep of this nature, you know, I got to go back to 2011 where the Lakers were coming off their championship in 2010. They beat the New Orleans Hornets still at that time. They were the New Orleans Hornets with Chris Paul. They go into the next round. At that point, they had home court advantage throughout because I forgot who. Oh, so yeah, the Spurs were the one seed. And so, you know, but then they got swept by the Mavs. And it really, the sweep came out of nowhere. And it was the last game Phil Jackson coached, the last series Phil Jackson coached. And so, you know, sometimes you get yourself in a tough spot where you lose those first two games at home and you're like, whoa. You know, and then again, listen, if they lose game three, you know, that is like all she wrote. What do you think about these two teams being the future of the West? I think, like, listen, when something like this happens, we start talking about the future. And as the future face of the league, you know, again, it's one postseason. We're in the second round still. But, you know. This is the next generation. And do you think we are seeing the next generation here with the Wolves and the Thunder?
I really do. These teams I've been so high on all year, even though the Orlando Magic I was really high on coming into this year. I thought they would all take really big steps, and they have. I did not foresee the Thunder being this good and being the one seed in the West. I didn't see that.
Yeah.
I thought they would be a top five seed, but they are playing so phenomenal, and the Minnesota Timberwolves as well. I did not see the Timberwolves doing this. I thought they were a top seven seed, nothing close to top five. And Anthony Edwards and that defense, I mean, that's a big factor in that. Arash, I'm glad you brought up that 2011 series because somebody I saw on X posted this where they said, you know, the 2011 Mavericks swept defending champions in the second round. And the Wolves are, I mean, I'm not making any comparisons here, but that Cinderella run that the Mavericks had in the second round, they swept the Lakers, who were the defending champions in the second round. So it's kind of cool that it's maybe going this way. I'm still not ruling out Denver. I can never rule out Denver in any of these series. But in terms of your question about the future of the NBA, it for sure looks like it's going to be Anthony Edwards as the face of the league. I mean, he's taking over social media by storm, the media by storm, just with his presence, his charisma, the way he plays on the court. It's very ferocious. It reminds a lot of people of how they played in the 90s with this tough, tenacious defense and this really loose mindset. And he's got that really Jordan Kobe mentality that we haven't seen in a lot of players since those guys retired. So that's a really big thing for this league. And I think that he's just ascended to another level. We could be looking at this playoff run and what he's doing now. And I know we're only in the second round and we're two games in, but what he's done so far already, I mean, he's taken down the Suns with Kevin Durant, Booker, and Beal. He's going head to head with Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray. Like, we could be looking at this run for Anthony Edwards as like, hey, like 5 years down the road, like we'd be looking at it like, this is the season, or this is the playoffs that kind of ascended him into that really top tier elite status. And that's just the way he's playing. And you know, I know Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are doing their thing over in Boston, but there's just a certain feel to it for Minnesota. And same thing for OKC. Like, nobody really expected OKC to be in the second round and not have lost a playoff game yet. And they are. And it's just due to that coach. Mark Daigneault has been fantastic. He won Coach of the Year. A really Cinderella story for him. That OKC crowd, I mean, they're one of the best in the league. They have SGA. They built that team from the ground up. You know, I know SGA was traded, but they really built it around SGA all the way back in 2020. And they're now finally seeing the benefits of it. And it hurts me as a Clipper fan because I love SGA to my core. It really still hurts me that we had to trade him in that Paul George trade. But this is the kind of player that a lot of Clipper fans had in mind when they saw that the Clippers drafted him. So really, really good turn of events for both of these franchises. And they're not going anywhere either.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing that I keep thinking about is that, you know, draft picks are only valuable if you trade it to a franchise that knows what to do with them. So, you know, when people talk about the Cowboys trading Herschel Walker and all those picks, it was like, yeah, they got all those draft picks, but it took Jimmy Johnson to draft those players. And so you kind of felt at the time, and again, I mean, the story, you know, 4 years ago was that, oh my God, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are teaming up in Los Angeles. And listen, you know, who knows how far they could have gone if the pandemic hadn't happened. Again, they had that 3-1 lead in the conference semifinals. I still believe to this day to my core that if the Kawhi was healthy, they win the championship in 21. But, you know, when Sam Presti gets those picks, And to your point, Shea was one of those guys where you're like, And I know Jerry West was trying to keep him, but at the end of the day, like, if Shea's like the only one holding up that trade from happening, and Kawhi's basically saying either you get Paul George or I'm signing with the Lakers, you have to realize where the Clippers were in that place. And the Clippers hated that I wrote this column, but Doc said it to a crowd while he was holding a microphone. So he basically told Steve Ballmer, like, if we don't make this trade, you might as well move the team to Seattle. And I'll never forget him telling me that, because it was like, you know, they had just teamed up with Anthony Davis and LeBron James. So you knew they were the championship favorite. And for us to compete, when I say us, like Doc basically, and he was at Nobu in Malibu, walking around trying to get reception with Lawrence Frank, saying, like, we got to make this deal happen. And, you know, Kawhi, I guess to his credit, although, like, you know, when a documentary is done about this whole thing, is that, you know, Kawhi had the power. You know, like, I think they knew at that point Kawhi wasn't going to go back to Toronto, but I really do believe he wanted to stay in Southern California. And while he didn't want to go to the Lakers, he would have, but he needed someone that he trusted. And Paul George, and again, I'd be curious to know where you were, because again, Paul George was not even in discussion. Paul George had just signed a contract extension, but they really did give him like an offer. I mean, Paul George respectfully said, listen, I'd like to get traded. But then, like, when you look at that trade package, it's just, you can't say no to that. Where were you when you found out about that deal?
Yeah, Rosh, it was after my first year of University of the Pacific. I was back home, and this happened late at night, right? So me and my girlfriend and her sister, we were going out to Pasadena, and we were on the metro train going there, Rosh. And I remember looking at this, and I was like, you know, I was very in tune, just like I am now with everything, about, you know, oh, the Lakers have the upper hand, and you know, there's reports about, hey, maybe the Raptors can steal them away. And I was like locked into everything. I had almost lost hope that Kawhi would be a Clipper, because a lot of the reports were that he was going to go to the Lakers.
Yeah.
And I was on that train late at night, and we were going to go for a night out in downtown Pasadena. And I got the notification that Kawhi was signing with the Clippers. And I was like, I was freaking out, obviously, on the train. I was going crazy. Yeah. You know, and I was like, okay, that's it. We got him. Perfect. Yeah. The off season is complete. This is what they worked up all those seasons for. This is what they saved all that cap space for. Great. We got him. And I was like, this team could be very good. Literally, probably 5-10 minutes later, on that same ride to downtown Pasadena, I get another notification that the Clippers have traded for Paul George. Now, I did not know who they traded for Paul George. So obviously I just celebrated anyways, because I was just like, we got Paul George too. Like, this is a guy that was top three in MVP candidacy that year.
Yeah.
So you got to realize, like, people don't realize that, like, Paul George was a bona fide MVP finalist.
He was. With
Kawhi Leonard, who was coming off of a championship. So this for Clipper fans was like, you know, I never thought I'd see that kind of day as a Clipper fan, right? Those two guys in their prime going to the Clippers. And Arash, needless to say, I have many videos on my phone at the venue that we went to celebrating with ESPN in the background. I have it. I have video of me filming ESPN in the background with them talking about it. It says Kawhi to the Clippers, Paul George to the Clippers. So I will never delete those videos, no matter how much I am disappointed now. It was such a fun moment to be a Clipper fan at that time. You know, you're coming off of a 6-game series against the Golden State Warriors, riding a high a little bit, and then that happens. I know there's a lot of fans down now, but, you know, 10 times out of 10, you go around the league and you ask every GM, every 30 GMs in the league, do you make that trade at that moment with your assets? They're all going to say yes. So as much as it hurts to see SGA and the Thunder using their assets and getting a good young team in place, I mean, that was just so fun to be a part of that. And they had to do it. And, you know, it hasn't worked so far.
Listen, it's one of those deals that you don't even think twice about. Like, with the Rams having that disappointing season post-Super Bowl, it like, at the end of the day, they won the Super Bowl. So, like, you know, and again, you remember this, you know, when Goff was having a really good season, I'm like God bless him. Like, I am happy Jared Goff. Like, Matthew Stafford and the Los Angeles Rams already won the Super Bowl, and they won the best kind of Super Bowl that you could. They won it in their home stadium. Like, right. like that was such a dream season. They beat San Francisco. They beat the dreaded San Francisco 49ers at SoFi Stadium in the conference championship game. They won the division. They won the Super Bowl. Like, if Goff has a Pro Bowl year and goes to the conference title game and loses that, or like even if he had won, like, that's a win-win. So, you know, and we look back at this now, like 2021 was the weird year. Like 2021 was the year where Milwaukee kind of went on that run. And I still, again, like the Clippers would have gone to the finals if they were healthy. And like the Suns, like
Atlanta was in that too. Right? Atlanta was in the conference final.
And I've brought this up a few times and I can't stress this enough. I mean, I talked to a doctor who said, when he saw the turnaround time for the following season, he said, if you were in that bubble for a certain amount of days. So basically what he said was, like, any team that got to the conference finals or further. So you're talking about the Celtics, the Heat, the Lakers, and Denver. Like, those four teams have no chance. Like yeah. they could begin the season good. They will taper off. They will, like, either not make it to the postseason or they will lose in the first round. They physically cannot, you know, unless they do like load management or like, but like there's no chance that they're going to win again. And that's what you had. Like when you look back at 2021, those four teams, like, I don't want to say they took the year off, but like those four teams, like, either didn't make the first round or didn't win a game following the first round. And then they came back after that. Like they needed the proper time to heal. So that was like the perfect season. If you were, the Suns or the Clippers or the Bucks or one of these teams that didn't get to the conference finals. And listen, if the Clippers had won a title, all of it would have been, you know, like, forgiven. Like, no one would have cared. Listen, you still want to defend that title. You still want to be competitive and all that stuff. So we'll see what they do. I mean, I have no problem with them trying to go into the new stadium with being one of the top four teams in the West, being a contending team. And yes, there is that sort of like carrot at the end, or like the light at the end of the tunnel. Like, if, I mean, you cannot get a bigger on word, a bigger, like, you know, yeah, like script for IF, but like, if they're healthy, and more importantly, if Kawhi's healthy. But man, Grant, and we'll talk about this more, like when we come back from break, but like, you know, 4 years in a row is a heck of a thing. And I can't even, you know, it's hard because but at this point you just expect it, which is so sad to say. Like, as well as they're playing, you're just going through that season saying, like, I know one of these guys, and unfortunately one for sure is going to be Kawhi. But then, like, in these past few years, you've had either Paul George. He was out the previous two postseasons, and as you probably basically didn't show up this year. And so that's the frustration, where you have some of the best players in league history, players who will be in the Hall of Fame one day. And, you know, just for Kawhi. And again, they've done both at this point. They've done playing 90% of the season, and they've done the load management. Steve Ballmer has spared no expense. There's not a trainer out there that he hasn't contacted. There's nothing that they haven't tried or done. So again, we'll talk about that. And the Dodgers, man, they've been on a tear recently. So we'll talk about that and more when we come back right here on the Mightier 1090 in Southern California, the Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now, in a city where time disappears. We create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big, we go all night, and here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
Get This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. Just as a reminder, if you have a question or comment or want to win tickets to an upcoming game in Southern California, Las Vegas or Hawaii, call our hotline 310-400-0340. All right, Bella, let's welcome in to the show from the Sporting Tribune, Jake Bicker, Grant Mona, G.K. Wiley, and also welcome back Grant Mona, who has given us the greatest treasure trove we could have ever hoped for. We were talking in the first segment, guys. You know, obviously, we were talking about the Thunder-Mavericks game. Thunder, once again, winning 117-95. They take a 1-0 series lead. You know, we were talking about the, how this could be like a glimpse into the future. You know, does it hurt Grant that not only a MVP candidate like Shea is doing what he's doing, but now they have all these first round picks, and there's now that famous meme of basically Paul George for all of this. And so I asked Grant what he was doing that night, and he's going to post a social video or whatever, but we do have the footage of Grant up in the club while he was in university and on the train to Pasadena, him and his girlfriend. And listen, Grant was celebrating a championship, guys. Yeah. Grant was celebrating a title. Armani Buckets, do you remember what you were doing the night that the Clippers basically, and by the way, I was in Vegas. I was at Summer League. I was with a lot of people, by the way, who were in the know, who thought Kawhi was going to the Lakers, by the way. The Paul George component came out of nowhere. Like, no one within the league really saw that one coming. So it was a bang, bang thing. And again, kudos to Grant for saving the alerts he got. I mean, it was 3 minutes apart. We found out Kawhi for the Clippers. 3 minutes later, we found out, again, this was not a guy who was on the trading block. This was not a guy who was, like, looking to get traded, but Paul George to the Clippers. So Armani Buckets, where were you the night that the Clippers made those two deals?
Now, if I remember correctly, that was July 4th?
It was, man.
Yeah. So I lived in Chicago at the time, and we had gone to me and someone who shall not be named, we went to see the fireworks. And I remember we got home and it had to have been like 1 or 2 in the morning,
must have been
central
late
time. And I was in shock because, like many other people, I assumed that he was going to end up with the Lakers, Kawhi Leonard. And seeing the Clippers news, at first I was like, what is going on? Why would they announce it so late at night? It was so many like thoughts going through my head. But just looking at those videos, what a time to be alive, right, Mona? I mean, who would have thought that they wouldn't have won one championship in 5-6 years? I know how hard it is to win, but like, man, you had Paul George and Kawhi. I don't mean to rub salt in the wound, Money Mona, but wow. Yeah.
I mean, listen, it is what it is. I mean, I think anybody, if they got those two caliber players at that point, would have been celebrating like me. But man, in hindsight, it looks really bad, guys. It just really does, Arash. Like, even the memes that I've sent, that page is posted about that time, it's just like Paul George getting rid of Russell Westbrook, saying, I don't want to play with you anymore, with the Toy Story reference. Like, come on, man. Like, what do we do? What are we doing? Like, I don't know. But we talked a lot about it in segment one, but that was tough.
Jake, if you remember, as a Lakers fan as well, I mean, so this was a few days into when guys could sign or negotiate and agree. And again, the Lakers didn't do a thing. So, I mean, again, the thought process was, of course, the Lakers aren't signing any of these guys because they expect to get Kawhi. And having talked to people within the Lakers, they did think that they were going to get Kawhi. That's why by the time Kawhi agreed with the Clippers, they kind of had to put together like this hodgepodge of like, who's available? Rondo, Danny Green, DeMarcus Cousins, who went by the wayside, so they had to sign Dwight Howard to a non-gear. Like, the team that actually kind of like bonded and ended up winning a title, like, that was plan C and D. Like that was not the team that they wanted. But when Kawhi signed, they had all this cap room. But they had cap rooms not at the beginning of free agency. They had cap room a few days into free agency where they're like, who's available? Jake, you remember where you were the night that Kawhi signed with the Clippers?
Yeah, I was home. I'd forgotten that it was July 4th, but I was with a couple friends. We had all eventually made their way back to my house. And I remember we were sitting around my living room table. And I am someone who everyone, I feel like, in their friend group has someone who's designated as the like the Adam Schefter guy that's very quick notifications. That's me. I cannot stand being late. If someone tells me news, I feel like I let myself down because I was.
By the way, I love our text exchange because of that. I mean, I swear I'll get 90% of like breaking news from either Grant or you or Brandon.
Yeah, it's like an internal battle between me, Grant, and Brandon because we're all we're all the same exact way, and that's exactly why we get along. but I had every single beat writer, anyone who was involved with the LA scope of basketball's Twitter notifications on, and every single time my phone beeped, I was convinced that it was a Kawhi to the Lakers notification before I even looked at it. And then we got the Kawhi to the Clippers notification, followed by the Paul George notification, followed by the Danny Green to the Lakers notification that was supposed to be some sort of consolation prize same night. I mean, I was absolutely baffled, and I don't blame Grant for reacting the way he did at all. I mean, it was you landed. I mean, this was 5 years ago. Like you think these LeBron years in LA have flown by, and it didn't really sink in how long he's been in LA until a few weeks ago. I saw a clip of him, like the very classic him and D Wade final game in LA hugging each other after the buzzer, and I saw that. And when I saw LeBron in a Laker uniform and just D Wade on the court at all, I was like, okay, this guy's been here for a little bit. And it's just, I mean, the Clippers haven't necessarily got enough done in this time. The Lakers, I mean, I know they won the championship. You can say what you want about the bubble year. I don't know if they got enough done in this time period either. But on that night, it was the Clippers are coming.
Yeah. I mean, and I think for a period of time, like they were the favorite or at least co-favorites. I think that that night, according to the Westgate Superbook, they were the favorites. I mean, GK, you are the most pessimistic Clippers fan. Like on the night where they get Kawhi and Paul George, and to your point, Jake, like you have to remember 5 years ago, and I gotta like look back. I mean, Paul George was a most valuable player finalist. Kawhi could have been made the argument for being the best player in the world coming off that finals run, finals most valuable player with Toronto. I mean, you were essentially getting two of the top five players in the league. GA, did you think that the Clippers had a chance to win it all back then?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. They're like, I think I was a lot more optimistic back then. Those were better days. I was a lot more optimistic back then than I obviously am now, currently with, you know, what has transpired. But I think the addition with Paul George was the reason for me being so positive and so excited, because I thought with these two guys coming together, and on top of it, you had Kawhi gunning for and wanting Paul George there with him. That, like, that's the main reason why we got him, was so that these two can play with one another and win titles with one another. So that was the reason a little bit more for my excitement and my thinking so foolishly that we would be winning championships, by the way, not a championship. I thought championships were in our future, multiple, not just one. So not just making it to the Western Conference Finals and being happy with that. So I thought that it was definitely a championship robust kind of squad, because at least you had two guys, one that had been there and one, two at the time. So I, you know, for somebody to sit there and vouch for said other person and be like, look, you can sign me, but if you don't sign him, you don't get me. So I think that was one of the reasons why I was like super psyched to have both of them on and to get both of them. And say what you will, like, I don't care if we got them from the Lakers or not. It's a nice little feather in the cap, but I'm not going to sit there and be like, yay, we got them from you guys. Like, woo, flipping who? You know, I'd rather win a title. So I'd rather win a title with nobody, right, than win with two superstars. So, but hindsight's 2020.
Well, listen, yes, I think you would rather win a championship, you know, full stop, regardless. I think the Darmo Money, because I want to get your point on this, because a lot of people talk about the bubble title. I think the bubble title is legitimate, because again, if you talk to like anyone who played in the bubble, that they were like, that is was the highest level of basketball we've ever played. And again, they played about like 70 games that season. Again, I think I don't discount the regular season, because they played a ton of games. We've had a 50 game season. We've had a 60, 62 game season. That was a full season. There was no home court advantage. I would argue the 2021 season, and I talked about it in the first segment with Grant, I talked to a team doctor who said, if you played in the bubble for 100 days, so basically if you got to the conference finals with the turnaround time, you have no chance to compete the following year. Like you just physically can't. Like it's just so, and again, like, to his credit, when you look at Miami, Boston, the Lakers, and Denver, they either did make the playoffs or they were like gouts, like they were done in the first round. That was the Clippers' chance. And I believe to my core, it's not even a hot take when you look at how well Kawhi was playing. The Clippers won the championship that year. That was their chance. For them not to win without Kawhi, I mean, you kind of have to look at that as a failure, right?
Yeah, I mean, we just said it. I mean, what the night that Kawhi signs and you get Paul George, we all think championship. So the goal, the bar was at least one. And the fact that they didn't get it, you have to give them, I would say, a D or an F. I would be interested to hear what Grant would say about it as a Clipper fan, but I would give them probably a D.
I would probably, and here's where I can throw a wrench into this, because a lot of people say that it's a fail. The Clippers had never made a Western Conference Finals, and they did. So I can't give it an F, because that run for me was the best run I've ever had as a Clipper fan. Like, I went to game 6 against Utah. I was in tears seeing them go to the Western Conference Finals. I really was. I know that sounds like really low, but for a team that I've been following for so long, and for them to finally get to that, I mean, I can never give it a fail, just because that's something I didn't think I'd ever see, and they did it. But yeah, it's not a C. It's not a B. It's probably a D, just because, like you mentioned, Armand, and how everyone's mentioned, it was championship or bust. Like, when you get two guys in the prime of their careers and you mortgage your future, which we are seeing right now in real time, playing and dominating in the playoffs, you're supposed to win at least one title, or at least get to the finals. They haven't even gotten to the finals. So I agree with you. Like, it is a failure in that sense. But for me, like, as a longtime Clipper fan, to see them finally get to a conference finals, to see on ESPN and their name down there where it says Western Conference Finals and the Clippers are on that ticker, like, that was just something special to me.
Yeah. I mean, it was just a great run, but it was hard to not think of what could have been with Kawhi. And again, by the way, like, kudos to Paul George. I mean, like, he had an amazing postseason, and you're right, like, that game 6 blowout of Utah was definitely the high watermark for the Clippers. Want to switch gears here, and I want to stick with Grant. And by the way, like, everyone loves Grant's takeaways for the Dodgers, but Grant took a little bit of time. By the way, it's a long season, 162 games. Grant, your Dodgers have won 6 games since you've been on a little bit of a hiatus from your takeaways. Not saying that, like, you should come back as soon as they go to San Diego to play the Padres, but what have you liked about the Dodgers so far?
I'm going to reference one of LeBron's most famous tweets from last year, and it's, quote, maybe it's me. because, listen, as soon as I stopped doing takeaways, the Dodgers have been on a run. And I'm not going to say that it's me, but it is. But seriously, this team is rolling. I mean, Shohei Ohtani, after that little bit of a rocky start, he's hitting 370. I mean, he's hit a home run in each of his last 2 or 3 games. Yamamoto went 8 last night. He looked fantastic. Ever since that start in South Korea against the Padres, he has been fantastic. I think his ERA since then is 1.76. They're getting contributions from Teoscar Hernandez, who has been a little bit up and down, but he's played in every game. He got an off night last night. And the big three, that I guess you could call the big three last night, Arash, they didn't even get a hit. And actually, Freddie Freeman did get one hit. He got one hit, and the Dodgers won in convincing fashion. Like, that just tells you, like, how deep this lineup can be when they're firing all cylinders. But I've said this many times, and Jake may say this too. They swept the Braves over the weekend. But for me, like, that's great. Like, that's a really good sweep of a series. But it doesn't really matter until we get to October, because they played good baseball against the Braves last year. I know they lost 3 out of 4 late in the season, but they played really competitive games, and it really didn't mean anything because they never met in the NLCS. Like, everyone was like, oh, this is an NLCS preview. The Dodgers are on a roll, and this is exactly how they should be playing. The bullpen looks great. They got Blake Treinen back. He has been fantastic. Evan Phillips is actually on the IL, which is unfortunate, but they got Walker Buehler back. He had an okay start. They're getting guys back slowly but surely. And when this team is all together and healthy, I mean, obviously they're going to be one of the best teams in the league. So I'm not surprised by this hot run, but you know, I'm cautiously optimistic, much like I was with the Clippers. Like, they went on this hot stretch in January. I was like, well, I'm going to wait for my hype to die down. I'm going to wait for April. And of course, they didn't show up. But for this Dodgers team, I'm looking at it the same way. They have all the talent in the world. I'm waiting for it to translate late in the season.
Jake, real quick, I want to get your thoughts. Because again, you know, he didn't have the best spring training. And obviously, he had probably the worst debut you could possibly have. Again, it was in Korea. It was during the whole Shohei thing. Yoshinobu Yamamoto, if you just, like, again, ignore spring training like most people should, and again, his first game in Korea that I don't really count because for a lot of reasons, since then, like, one of the best pitchers in baseball, right?
I mean, hands down. I mean, last night he gave up two runs on two solo homers, one of which came on the first pitch of the game. And after that, he was essentially lights out. And I mean, credit to Dave Roberts. I don't know when the last time he went someone go into the eighth inning after throwing 84 pitches through seven was. Clearly someone's in his ear, because that's not your typical Dave move. But yeah, I mean, I've said it on the show the last couple of days, Yamamoto and Glasnow have cemented themselves as the clear 1-2 in baseball. I think Zach Wheeler is the best pitcher in baseball. I think Aaron Nola might be a step behind Yamamoto at this point. So that kind of gives them the edge, but they're going to anchor this rotation for the rest of the year. And Grant kind of nailed it on the head. This is the expectation. Like, as crazy as it sounds, playing 750, 800 baseball, when you spend over $1 billion in the offseason, this is kind of what you expect. Yeah. And you're getting it. I mean, you're getting production from the two guys that you paid. Shohei is leading the NL in every statistical offensive category. And Yamamoto, since that one inning disaster in Korea, has really locked in and shown that he is, as advertised, one of the top pitchers in the National League, let alone baseball. So, I mean, this is great. We'll see how it translates to October, because that's been the hurdle, is kind of sustaining it through the end of the year. But this is the expectation, and I wouldn't expect them to slow down anytime soon.
I just wanted to backtrack real quick, back to that Clipper conversation, because yes, one of the things that comes to my mind, Grant and Jihei, I wanted your perspective. When we think about right before they got Kawhi and Paul George, they had that team with Lou Williams, Montrezl Harrell, an 8 seed, but what a fun team that was to watch.
They
had a lot of dogs on that team. Would it be fair to say that that team was more enjoyable in that season or two that they had than the last 5 years, or am I too far?
You're not too far. That was probably the most fun season. That it's funny you mentioned that, because that season where they made the first round and they took the Warriors to six, and they came back from 27-31 in that round, which is insane. I had there were no expectations. I was like, okay, well, they made the playoffs. That in itself is an accomplishment. The other one was 22, where they got to the play-in, where they had Reggie Jackson and Amir Coffey and Brandon Boston Jr. And they had, you know, no Paul George, no Kawhi the whole year. That was the second most fun year. And both of those years, I had no expectations. It was just seeing the guys play and have fun and beat these teams that they shouldn't have. And it's crazy that I look back on those 2 years as probably the most fun times. Like, I was eager to watch their games. I was engaged into their games as much as I was. And it's crazy because they didn't have any stars on those teams. So it's both sad and kind of frightening that those are the both.
I'm going to take a page out of, or a word out of the Brandon Deutsch dictionary. And that team had moxie.
Like,
that team played with a chip on their shoulder and said, we might be old and we might not be your favorite big names in the league, but we're going to come out and we're going to play hard basketball every single night. And I'll agree with you, even as a Laker fan, that was one of the most fun Clipper teams that I have in recent memory, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. My favorite, even though they didn't exceed my expectations, but with that Blake Griffin Clip City, like that was the most exciting to watch. But the reason why Grant hit this on the head, the reason why that Montrezl Harrell like squad was the best to watch, or was really, really entertaining to watch, no expectations. Yeah. You're not expecting them to make the playoffs. You're not expecting them to like do well. You're not expecting them to be over 500. You're psyched for them to do anything. So that would be the only reason why that team is quote unquote exciting.
Listen, that's
also Clipper basketball.
So. No, but I was just going to make that point. I mean, that is Clipper basketball. Like, there's no expectation. No one cares about us. No one thinks about us. You know, da da da. Russell Westbrook, why is he so beloved, or was, right? I don't think he is. No one thought he could do it. Everyone counted him out. The Laker fans hate him. Da da da. Give him to us. We'll show you. Like you have to. If you live in Los Angeles and you're a Clippers fan, you have that. God bless that moxie. All right, another amazing show. Love this crew. All right, that's all the time we have for today. We'll do it again tomorrow. Until then, this is Arash Barkazi saying stay safe. Stay healthy.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In two clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
I'm Cyndi Lauper. My psoriasis was all over, even on my scalp, which may mean 4 times the risk for psoriatic arthritis. But Cosentyx works on both.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 milligram dose and adults with active psoriatic arthritis 150 milligram dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for TB. Serious allergic reactions, severe skin reactions that look like eczema, and an increased risk of infections, some fatal, have occurred. Cosentyx may lower ability to fight infections, so tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if IBD symptoms develop or worsen. Learn more at Cosentyx.com or 1-844-COSENTYX. Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.